Let's pray and ask for God's help as we come to his word. Father God, we do thank you for the word, your words that we have just heard. And Father, we thank you for this time now to think about them. May your spirit be at work, helping us to understand them, helping us to see and understand you, and to change us so we're more like Jesus. In his name we pray. Amen. Well, if you were with us last week, we saw together just how unstoppable God's plan is. When God makes a promise, even Isaac's wretched family, and they were wretched, weren't they? Can't put God off, can't sort of make God have second thoughts about whether he was going to keep his promise or not. His plan was unstoppable. And then we pick up the story this week, and Jacob is in the midst of a 1,000-mile journey to his uncle's. And without cars and planes and that type of thing, it was a very long journey. But more importantly, a very lonely journey. Jacob had left a family at war. His own conduct had been absolutely terrible. He had no one to talk to. And you can imagine him just walking on hour after hour, just chewing over the disaster zone that he had left behind. He was outside of populated areas for most of the time, and journeys in those days were dangerous. Who knew what would happen? And there isn't even a hint that Jacob was looking to God at this point. Everything was so wrong, but he just couldn't be bothered, just wasn't looking towards God. And isn't that true of us as well? When we sometimes fail God, when we sometimes fail God in some spectacular way, the last person we want to talk to is who? God himself. We pretend he's not there. Well, let's pick up the story in verse 11. Chapter 28 in Genesis and verse 11. And when he reached a certain place, he stopped for the night because the sun had set. And taking one of the stones there, he put it under his head and lay down to sleep. Jacob wasn't seeking God, and in his misery, lay down, put a rock under his head for a pillow, and went to sleep. And then what happens? Well, Jacob has a dream at one level. But it is so much more than that. Because out of nowhere, God appears. God generously meets with Jacob. Please look with me at verse 12. He had a dream in which he saw a stairway resting on the earth, with its top reaching to heaven, and the angels of God were ascending and descending on it. There above it stood the Lord. And here we get the image of a stairway. We're not told whether it's a spiral staircase or perhaps a giant escalator or anything like that. We don't need to know. What we are told, though, it starts from heaven and reaches all the way down to earth. But this staircase isn't there for show, you know what I mean? Like a beautiful lawn with the dreaded sign on it saying, keep off the grass. It's not that type of staircase. This staircase is used. Angels are going up and down it, between heaven and earth. But then we come to the highlight of this vision, and it's there in verse 13. There above it stood the Lord. Or it could actually possibly be translated standing next to the staircase. The central point of this vision is that God himself is there. And we might be thinking now, as we think about this imagery, we might be thinking, what's all this mean? There could be loads of possible interpretations, couldn't there? But thankfully, God doesn't leave us guessing. As often happens in Scripture, when there's a visual thing, God often provides words of explanation. So we understand what the visual thing is talking about. And that is what happens here. But just before we go there, let's just pause and recognize just how generous God is to Jacob at this point. Jacob at this point is in the middle of reaping the consequences of his own sin. He's terribly lonely. And as far as we can tell, hasn't had one thought about God. And yet God just shows up. Jacob didn't deserve God showing up. He didn't deserve it one little bit. Yet God graciously meets with Jacob. Now, God doesn't often appear in our dreams today, but he is the same God. The one who sees people ignoring him in various ways, and God can just turn up. Now, he does it in much more ordinary ways. It might be a phone call from a Christian friend asking, "How are you and Jesus doing?" Reassuring you that your Heavenly Father is ready and waiting, longing for you to cry out to him. It might be a sermon like this. Yes, you're at church, but you might be sat there going, "I know I'm hiding from God in some way. Perhaps some part of my life I'm just tucking away from him." And perhaps God is using these words from Genesis chapter 28 to say to you, "I'm here. My arms are open wide. Come home." God comes to you first and beckons you to return to him. But then as we come back to Genesis and hear what God has to say, do you notice what he doesn't say? I'm going to read from verse 13 in a moment. And I want you to think, what might you expect God to say, which he's just left out? Verse 13. "And there above it stood the Lord, and he said," that's God, "I am the Lord, the God of your Abraham and the God of Isaac. I will give you and your descendants the land in which you are lying. Your descendants will be like the dust of the earth, and you will spread out to the west and to the east, to the north and to the south. All peoples on earth will be blessed through you and your offspring. I am with you and will watch over you wherever you go, and I will bring you back to this land. I will not leave you until I've done what I have promised you." What does God not do? He does not rebuke Jacob. No, there's not even one demand on Jacob, but instead it's just a stream of assurances of what God will do. And therefore our second point this morning, God's grace in giving Jacob these promises. Promises that God had already given to Abraham, his granddad. He'd given to his dad, Isaac. It's the promises that Isaac had blessed Jacob with. But now Jacob was hearing of them for himself. The Lord Yahweh isn't just the God of his granddad and his dad. He is for Jacob as well. Verse 15. "I am with you and will watch over you wherever you go." He is now Jacob's God. And Jacob's God is getting busy here. Just in those verses I've just read, we see God saying, "I," six times. God was going to do something. And this was all communicated via speech. Yes, we've got this vision of the staircase with the angels and God stood by it and the whole thing. But fundamentally, this is about God speaking, promising to Jacob the promises that he's made to his people, well, since Abraham and ever since. And those promises, what do they include? Just look at those verses. It includes a land, a secure home for God's people. It includes offspring, a huge family, so big that it's a nation of people living for God. A blessing. The hand of God reaching out to people of all nations through this one people of God, reaching out to people all over the world, north, south, east, and west. And then finally, a togetherness with God. He will be their God, and they will be his people. Promises that we have received today. I mean, God has prepared a final home for us all. Juliet knows that better than any of us right now. We are part of the biggest family in the world with millions upon millions of brothers and Christian brothers and sisters. God touches people all over the world through the church. He's touched you. a togetherness with God himself. And if you are a Christian, God has guaranteed this. It doesn't matter whether you feel it or not. He is your God and you belong to him. And in fact, these promises run through the whole of the Bible. It might be like a stick of rock that you get in Southend. Yeah, I mean, Southend is probably going to be the premier destination for everybody in Essex this summer. But that's a side thing, isn't it? But if you get a stick of rock, you might get a stick of rock and it might Southend is Brill or something, or Southend Beach. And you start to eat it. And as you go down the stick of rock, that message is still there. Doesn't matter where you are in the stick of rock, Southend Beach will appear. But it doesn't matter where you are in the Bible story. These promises that God made to first Abraham and then to Isaac and now to Jacob are throughout the Bible story. He makes them to us. God does not promise that his people will have an easy life. He doesn't promise that we'll be rich or wealthy. He doesn't promise freedom from health concerns. He promises a home, a people, purpose, and his presence. And once again, it doesn't depend on dodgy Jacob. Verse 15. I am with you and will watch over you wherever you go. I will bring you back to this land. I will not leave you until I have done what I have promised you. God's presence there depends on who? It depends on God himself. The dynamic presence of God, who directs commerce between heaven and earth for his people, would never leave Jacob. Jacob could never go beyond God's blessings. He could never go to any place in the world where he would be beyond God's blessings. Be always the ladder, always the angels, always God and his promises for Jacob and his people since that day. And how much more so for us? Let's flick to John chapter 1, which I read earlier. We will be coming back to Genesis, so try to keep your finger in there as well. John chapter 1. Sorry, I didn't keep my finger in it, so I'm just finding it again. John chapter 1, and I'm going to read from verse 49. Verse 49. Then Nathanael declared, Rabbi, you are the Son of God. You are the King of Israel. Jesus said, you believe because I told you. I saw you under the fig tree. You will see greater things than that. And then he added, very truly I tell you, you will see heaven open up and the angels of God ascending and descending on the Son of Man. Who now links heaven and earth? Who now has prepared a home for us when we depart this life? Who gives us brothers and sisters here at Cornerstone and across the world? Who makes you a blessing of love, gospel hope, and spiritual fruit to your neighbours and your family and friends? Who makes God's presence with his people a reality that Jacob could only dream of? Of course, it's our precious Lord Jesus Christ, taking the promises of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob and making them real for us today. The promises which were a gift to wretched Jacob, the promises given to us in Christ, a gift for wayward and wretched people like you and me. So here we've seen God's grace in meeting with his people, God's grace in giving us his wonderful promises. But then last of all, let's see how Jacob responds. And back to Genesis. And I think Genesis, a way of summarizing it, the way I've summarized it is Jacob responds by saying, I am yours to God. And that's my third point this morning. Jacob's response, I am yours. And back to Genesis 28 and verse 16. So I'm just looking back as well. Verse 16. When Jacob awoke from his sleep, he thought, surely the Lord is in this place, and I was not aware of it. He was afraid and said, how awesome is this place? This is none other than the house of God. This is the gate of heaven. How often have I thought verse 16 over the years? How often have I thought God isn't at work here and then suddenly gone, whoops, yes, he is. And then we get a very natural response, don't we, in verse 17. Jacob is like fear. He's awestruck. Now, yes, Jesus does call his followers, his disciples, friends, but we are also children of God, and we're children of God of himself. Well, we can crawl into his arms, if you like. But let's never lose the sight of who God is, the creator of heaven and earth. God who knows you better than you know yourself, who made you. We should be in awe of him. In some sense, a sense of even fear. But we should also be in awe of his promises. Because that's actually what the focus is here, is in Genesis chapter 28, isn't it? And just think of his promises. An everlasting home in his presence from people of all nations. A place where there'll be no arguments. Where we won't be mourning the loss of Juliet or anybody else. No more death, no more crying, no more sin, no more need for forgiveness. We should be in awe because this is huge. So Jacob was in awe, a sense of fear, but he also worshipped. He worshipped in the way he knew how to then, with the stone and the oil, giving glory to God, the praise that he deserves. But then he gives himself. Please look with me at verse 20. Then Jacob made a vow, saying, if God will be with me and will watch over me on this journey I am taking, and will give me food to eat and clothes to wear, so that I return safely to my father's household, then the Lord will be my God. Now, I don't know about you, when I first read that, it looks like Jacob is bargaining with God. If God will be with me. And it's not out of the question that Jacob is saying that. You know, I mean, it wouldn't be a surprise. We already know that Jacob is a dodgy character. And he doesn't suddenly become a saint because of one particular dream. So it is a possibility that he is bargaining. But I think on balance, that's not actually what's going on here. I think the if here is more like since. Since God is with me. Some Bible translations actually translate the if as since. And it also fits better with the flow as Jacob is awestruck and worshipping God. And it fits better, I think, with the conclusion in verse 21. The Lord will be my God. Or to put it another way, Jacob is saying to God, I am yours. And isn't that the response that God always wants from us? You are my God. I'm yours. It's no good, you know, acknowledging that God is real, but then ignoring him. Or even doing a bit of God, but not all of God. I mean, it's even possible to go to church. I think, you know, I'm doing God a favor. I've turned up this week. That's not the response that God wants or even deserves. God speaks his gracious promises into the world through the story of Jacob, through sending us Jesus to live and die and rise for us, to make those promises possible and real for you and me. God gives and gives and gives. And when we see that more and more clearly, well, you are my God. I am yours, will be written ever more deeply on our hearts and in our soul. And the change, well, it means everything. Remember back to chapter 27, when Jacob was trying to con his father. Just flick back to 27 and verse 20. Jacob had come in with the goat. We're trying to pass it off as some wild animal. And verse 20, Isaac asked his son, how did you find it so quickly, my son? The Lord your God gave me success, he replied. A chapter ago, it was the Lord your God. But now, it is the Lord my God. All because of God's gracious promises. Promises that God wants to write on our souls ever more deeply and clearly. Let's pray. Father God, we read, we hear from you from Genesis this morning about this story of Jacob, and we want to say, I am yours. We want that to be ever more true for us, Father, as we live for you day by day. For some of us, Father, it might actually be the first time we actually say it and mean it. For many of us, Father, we just want it to be more and more true. We are yours. We just want that to be the reality more and more fully. And Father, as we dwell on your promises, as we see how you have worked out your promises in our life today, as we look forward to you completing those promises in the future, right, I am yours ever more deeply within us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.